This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The U.S. Senate passed a bipartisan budget agreement Wednesday. The measure gives a temporary reprieve from the threat of a shutdown. But the Hill debate over the debt ceiling is far from over. Joining us now to explain this budget agreement is political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Good morning, Frank.
Pleasure to be have you on the show. And, you know, none of the drama. I've really gotten used to that higher level of tension now. And going back to politics as usual on this budget deal, kind of boring.
Well, actually, there's not much in the deal itself. But what it does do, of course, as you say, it pushes off any kind of confrontation about so-called closing the government, shutting down the government for another 2 years. The government is funded for another 2 years. We're not going to have a repeat of what we had in October with the government shutdown. But that doesn't mean that the crises are far from over. And as you say, there's going to be a battle over the debt ceiling limit. The deadline is February 7th, and we could see another standoff with that.
Well, tell us how this agreement came about.
Well, basically, I mean, first of all, it was agreed to by Democrats and Republicans, and so even though it's a very minimal bill, it raises some spending, it raises some taxes. It's really not, you know, no grand bargain, no great compromise by either the Republicans on increasing taxes or Democrats on cutting entitlement programs. But the point is, they had to do something. They were tired of going to the brink every couple of months, and the Republicans said, "Look, we don't want the focus to be on us as it was during the shutdown. We'd rather keep the focus on the problems with the Affordable Care Act and, you know, the botched website, which still has problems. So let's keep the focus on Obama and their problems, and let's get it off our back." And so I think a lot of Republicans, certainly in the House, were eager to go along. It was interesting. In the House, the Republican support behind Paul Ryan, chairman of the Budget Committee, was overwhelming. In the Senate, when it was a Democrat leadership in the Senate, only 9 of the 45 Republican senators went along with it.
Or Democratic senators, the Republican senators. So tell us what this sets up then. Because, again, there are big fights. Everything was put on hold. What is the next big fight, and how does that one shape up?
Well, a big fight, and as Paul Ryan said, even though Paul Ryan pushed this deal through the House, with the full support of Speaker John Boehner and with the opposition of Tea Party and outside conservative groups, but another battle comes up, you know, before February 7th, as we saw back in September, October, once again, the raising the debt limit, the debt ceiling, that battle will come to force again, and Republicans this time say that, you know, we'll vote for it. We're not going to shut down the government. That's not going to happen. But we need to get something in return, some kind of concessions from the Democrats, Harry Reid, and the White House. And so you know, a lot of angry talk could very well come up again as we get into the new year.
Look, some of that angry talk was Speaker Boehner blasting Tea Party Republicans and the interests behind them. Is there any long-term impact to that, or was that just the theatrics to get this one through?
No, I don't think it was theatrics. I think it was deep-seated resentment on Boehner's part. Basically, the Tea Party has been running the show for the last year or two, and for, you know, in fairness to the Tea Party can make the argument that the only reason John Boehner is Speaker is because of Tea Party and the gains the Republicans made in 2010. So when they shut down the government, was John Boehner in favor of it? No. Did he stand up to the Tea Party back then? No. He felt they should have their say. But now when the Tea Party and these outside conservative groups like Heritage Action and Club for Growth were doing everything they can to defeat this budget deal, Boehner had had enough and said, "Look, you guys are not out for the interests of the country. You're certainly not out in the interests of the Republican Party. You're out, you know, the only interest you care about is yourself and your fundraising proclivities." So Boehner, uncharacteristically for him, lashed out at them.
Interesting to look at how North Carolina's two senators voted on this one when you think about the issues behind the October fight. Tell us how that came out.
Well, I mean, there's no surprise. Kay Hagan voted with all the Democrats to vote for it. And Richard Burr voted against the bill. He was among the 36 Republicans who voted no in the Senate. But I thought what was interesting also is that once upon a time, Burr's name was mentioned as somebody who would at least vote to limit the debate, you know, to vote against, to shut that, to limit the debate on the budget bill and things like that, but he wasn't. It was nowhere to be found on that.
Well, he supported it last time because he didn't want to shut down government, and he thought that was a bad idea back in
October. That's right, and his name was bandied about for somebody who would also, you know, be on that side again this time. But this time he was with the leadership in the Senate, which was Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, many of whom, by the way, and I think you should point out, and it's probably very relevant to say this, is that many of them are facing conservative challengers in the 2014 primaries. McConnell is in Kentucky, Cornyn is in Texas, Lamar Alexander, Pat Roberts, Lindsey Graham, a lot of conservatives are being challenged by the further right. So maybe, you know, the dynamic in the Senate is much different than it is in the House.
Well, is that true in Burr's case, and why would he vote against the measure this time?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, look, he's still a Mitch McConnell kind of guy, and McConnell basically, and look, a lot of Republicans, even moderate Republicans, say, look, you know, we want to have a working relationship with the Democrats and all that, but once again, this bill does nothing, and both the progressives on the left and conservatives on the right will tell you that really this is more political than anything else. It just pushes the ball down for another 2 years. It doesn't make any of the sacrifices. It doesn't address any of the issues. And Burr was with the majority of the Republicans on that.
Well, switching the spotlight from the national scene to the state scene, North Carolina Republican state senator made national headlines with a tweet he sent. Bob Rucho says Justice Roberts' pen in Obamacare has done more to damage the U.S. than the swords of the Nazis, Soviets, and terrorists combined. And that made big news. Tell us about that. I mean, that's quite a statement, because the Nazis, they really did a lot of harm, you know.
Oh, no, I've read a lot of books.
I have, too.
The Nazis and the Soviets were pretty bad guys. I read that in many, many places, and it was in a lot of newspapers. Look, it's getting so... It's not even funny anymore, the fact that people all like to compare everything to the Nazis. And we've seen the Nazi comparisons. We saw it during the Bush administration. We see it during the Obama administration. And now the Affordable Care Act is now probably worse than the Nazis and the Soviets and the terrorists. But here's a thing to point out. He says in his tweet, Justice Roberts, and he says R-O-B-E-R-T apostrophe S, he says Roberts Penn and Obamacare has,
yeah,
not have, and he says it's done more damage to the USA than THEN.
Yeah.
He went to UNC Charlotte. I think the people at UNC Charlotte should be very aware that in this little tweet that Bob Rucho made, there were three grammatical mistakes.
Yeah, and a spelling error as well. And huge. And it has really created a firestorm around here. But in some ways, given the political climate and the fact that so many legislators are living in safe seats now in safe districts, he's a senator, a little broader constituency. In some ways, this rhetoric doesn't cost anybody anything, does it? I mean, in some ways, people who don't like Bob Rucho don't like him anymore. And the people who do say, go, Bob. Right?
Well, that's exactly right. And we've seen this for years. We saw when Joe Wilson of South Carolina had that outburst in 2009, the "you lie," when President Obama was addressing a joint session of Congress. I mean, he was reprimanded by the House, and he was just ridiculed by the Democrats nationwide. And yet he easily won re-elections in both 2010 and 2012. So you know, they like the notoriety. They bring sometimes embarrassment on themselves, but does it hurt them at the ballot box? So far, it often is the case it's not.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie.